I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.
Welcome, talkers. This is Dangerous Talk, and I am your host, Stax Rosh. And right now, I'm having a hard time containing myself. We have had one hell of a week, starting with Tuesday being Election Day. Actually, no, this goes even Monday. Let's start at Monday. Monday was Guy Fawkes Day, which here in America means diddly squat. But for those of you who don't know the history, I did talk about it in my blog. Apparently, back in the day, in jolly old England, where we, left and broke away from them, but that's another story. Back in jolly old England, there was a guy named Guy Fawkes, and what he did was he attempted to blow up Parliament and kill the king, and he got caught. They didn't blow up Parliament, didn't kill the king, he got caught. So, they ridiculed him. And they ripped him apart and threw pieces of him all over the country. But then they ridiculed him, and every year they decided to celebrate the fact that he failed to commit treason, that he failed to rebel against the government. And so they kind of made a joke out of him. Well, of course, many people may know the movie V for Vendetta. It's been quite popular recently. In the movie, the main character, V, uses the Guy Fawkes mask to go about doing everything. And basically what the message of that movie is that sometimes rebellion, even though in England they kind of made fun of it and the holiday is supposed to be making fun of the fact that he failed in rebellion and kind of saying that rebels are bad, the movie kind of took the opposite spin. Like, maybe he had a good reason for doing what he did, and maybe this is a time in which that reason has come again. That was basically the theme of the movie. And I think it holds true some extent here today. And I remember, and I talked about this also in my blog this week, recently was Halloween, and the day after Halloween, I went to Halloween Adventure to get cheap half-off costumes, because I'm cheap that way. And a guy walked in, and he asked the clerk if they had any more Guy Fawkes masks. And the clerk had no idea what he was talking about. So I had to step in and translate. I said, "Do you have any V for Vendetta masks?" And they go, "Oh, no, we sold out of that weeks ago." So, you know, that's basically the thing. Today, people don't know Guy Fawkes Day. And I don't necessarily think they ought to know it. You know, I mean, maybe it would be nice. But, you know, it's not pressing information. However, now we come to that time in V for Vendetta where our government is corrupt and the Republicans are still in control, even though the Democrats have the House and the Senate. And basically, most politicians are puppets, pawns, or wusses, or a combination of all three. And we have some serious issues going on in the world, and especially here in America. And Tuesday was Election Day. Now, Election Day this year isn't a big deal because the only offices that were really up were local offices, countywide offices, and there were a couple of, you know, governor, I think two governor positions open and one state senate position open somewhere in the country, something like that. And Democrats won the big ones, and then the local elections, it's, you know, mixture. And here where I am in Pennsylvania, on the border of Chester County, Montgomery County, and Delaware County, Republicans tend to win all of those, which is unfortunate. But my buddy Joe Huffle did win his seat in as a new county commissioner in Montgomery County, and that is awesome. Unfortunately, he was hoping to carry the incumbent. Actually, it's weird because the incumbent Democrat, it's a whole nother, I don't even want to get into that. But here's the thing. Tuesday, being Election Day, was kind of important, even though it wasn't a big election. the reason for its importance wasn't the election. That was the day that Congressman Dennis Kucinich went before the floor of the House of Representatives and demanded impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney. And he wanted an up or down vote, and he wanted it soon. And he made it a privileged resolution so that he is in control of it. Well, the moment he stopped speaking, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer immediately made a resolution to table this resolution. Basically, what he wanted to do was say, we don't want to discuss it, so we're going to make a resolution saying that you can talk about impeachment somewhere in the future, down far away, where probably, you know, never happen. And that tabling was expected to happen. Dennis Kucinich knew they were going to do it. And to everyone's surprise, the tabling failed. In other words, the motion remained out on the floor. And I got word of it through an email, and I was at work at the time. It was towards the end of the day. I put on the C-SPAN live feed, and I tell you, I was riveted. I could not pull my ears away from it. It was just the most... Talk about drama. Who cares about the entertainment writer's strike? They don't need writer's strikes. They don't need writers. They got C-SPAN right here. This is more entertaining than anything I've seen on TV in a long time. And I was just unbelievably... I couldn't wait to hear what was going to happen. The Republicans voted overwhelmingly to have an impeachment vote to discuss impeachment. And that was a shock. And one Republican said that he voted that way because, you know, when the left wing of the Democrats show themselves, we want to use it to embarrass them. Well, you know what? Please, if Dennis Kucinich is the left wing, then, you know, this country is going to hell. Because, you know, there's so much for impeachment, so many grounds for it, that's not even funny. But I'll get to that. What the Democratic majority did was they decided that since the tabling failed and they didn't want to hear the case, they didn't want to talk about it, they didn't want floor debate, they were going to move debate to the Judiciary Committee. So they made a motion to push this to the Judiciary Committee, and that passed. So now the ball is in the Judiciary Committee's court. And that is a bipartisan committee made up of 40 congresspeople. And I have the list of them. Now, first things first, it's the head of this committee is John Conyers. And he is, I have this right in front of me here, he is a Democrat from Michigan, and he has been pushing in Michigan's 14th, and he has been pushing for impeachment for a while, apparently, and he is right on board with Dennis on this, except that now, all of a sudden, that it becomes a reality, he's a little shaky, and he's the chair of this committee, and it's kind of in his ball of wax. However, I do recall that Cindy Sheehan went to his office and tried to get him to take some action on impeachment before, and it failed. So he wouldn't listen to her. So I wonder where he stands on this. In fact, I wonder where all these people stand on this issue. So what I did was earlier today, I was at work when it came up with this brainstorm of an idea. The phone numbers for these representatives are online on the website. So I got the idea to call all the people on the Judiciary Committee and ask them what their opinion was, so we have some kind of gauge. Two questions. One, do they agree with impeachment? And two, whether or not they would push for a hearing on it. Those are the two things I want to know. And there's been this call drive and this email drive to tell them what, you know, to push for impeachment. I didn't want to do that here because let's face it, nothing you tell them is going to make a bit of difference. They've already made up their mind. We all know that. You know, nothing you say is going to make a squat of difference. Because let's face it, all the Democrats are all going to do what Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi tell them to, like good little Democrats, because they don't want to risk their seats, their power, whatever excuse they make up. They're going to step in line. And all the Republicans, well, they're not going to impeach the vice president. That doesn't help their party, even though I think it does, but that's a whole other thing. I think this helps both people, both Republicans and the Democrats. But I'll get into that later. My point is, I just wanted to ask the Judiciary Committee where they stand, each one. That way we know who we should annoy and who we shouldn't, who is on the fence and who isn't. That way we know where to put our focus. So there are 40 members of the Judiciary Committee, and I don't have time to call them all, so I called about 10. I called the 10 Republicans, because what I did basically was I sent out a MySpace message saying anyone who wants to help, the Dangerous Talker News team is going to research this, and we need help. And basically, I was hoping for 4 people, and I was going to split the 40 people up and say, each one of the 4 people should call 10 representatives and find out where they stand, and then report back. However, nobody responded. Well, one person responded, but then he never got back to me. So nobody was interested in helping out here. And that's a shame, because I know most of the 2,000 people on my friends list support impeachment. So I was very disappointed in that. As for the 10 Republicans I called, guess what? No surprise. Most of them said they do not support impeachment for the vice president. They would not push for a hearing. A few of them said no comment, but basically we know what that means. So one said they'd get back to me, which I'm still waiting. So we know how that game is played, and let's not play games here. I did call John Conyers' office, and I asked his position on it. His person on the phone had no comment. Thing is, we all know how this is going to end. We all know that nobody in the Democratic Party has the balls it takes to bring this forward, except, of course, for Dennis Kucinich. And which is why, one of the reasons why I've endorsed him. And part of, so many things I want to talk about, I'm going to go a little out of order. One of the things I think everyone who supports impeachment should do is to thank Dennis Kucinich by donating at least $25 to his campaign for president. Even if you're supporting some other candidate. Let's face it. If you're supporting some other candidate, it's probably because you don't think Dennis has a chance. In which case, giving money to Dennis is no threat to the candidate who you choose. It's just a little thank you. But for people like me, who think that Dennis Kucinich is the best candidate and think that he is underrated, if enough people give $25 or more, enough of the grassroots, then he would be a serious candidate, and people would start to take notice. And if not, if he doesn't become that serious candidate, then at least him gaining all that money would say to people, you know what? Dennis Kucinich raised more money than he's ever raised before right after he pushed for impeachment. Maybe that's what the people want. And I think no matter how you slice it, that's going to work to our advantage. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about Dennis's campaign and how I think, I think I see his strategy for the future. But first, I want to talk about something that got me pissed off and angry. I was listening to the Ed Schultz show last night, a replay of it. And he had on a member of the House Judiciary Committee. And Ed Schultz, by the way, is with us on the impeachment. He strongly supports it, and one of the few radio talk show hosts actually talking about it. But he had on his show Congresswoman Schultz, Waxler Schultz, no relation to Ed Schultz, by the way, from California. I'm sorry, from Florida. 20th District of Florida. And she said she did not support impeachment. And Ed Schultz argued with her about it, and he said he was restraining himself. And I could tell he was. Personally, I wouldn't be able to, because the excuses she gave were pathetic. Just pathetic. She said, well, it's going to distract us from the work that we have to do. We were elected in 06 to get us out of Iraq, to health care and for children, all these things. And out of all those things, guess what? The House of Representatives did none of them. We're still in Iraq. There's no chance of we're leaving Iraq. The House of Representatives and the Senate are too pussy to stop funding for the war. So we're still going to be in Iraq well into 09. And I say that because I don't think Clinton or Obama or Edwards would pull us right out. They've already said they wouldn't. So let's face it, we're going to be in Iraq for a very long time, regardless of who's president at this point. Except, of course, if Dennis is president, then we won't. But that's a whole other story. Then there's the health care. Right? Bush vetoed it. So that didn't happen. And you know what? They don't have the votes to override the veto on that. And they're not gonna. That's an issue. People have already made up their mind. So what are they gonna do? Are they gonna beat a dead horse and try to get those? I don't think they can. Now, are they going to get the votes for impeachment? Probably not. But you know what? It will get them. It will get the Republicans on edge. It will get people talking. It will get people thinking. And you know what? They can make a strong case for impeachment for Cheney with the Republicans. Let's face it. Bush's approval rating is 25%, the lowest of any president ever. In fact, people say that he is the worst president we've ever had. Then Cheney's poll numbers are 11%. 11% of the American people like Dick Cheney. That's retarded. So we can say to the Republicans and make this case, we're going to impeach Dick Cheney. If you get on board with this, then, when you run again, in 08, or whenever you're next up for election, you can say that those guys don't represent you, that you're making a clean break from them, that you're not no party hack, that you are a conservative. And you can say whatever lie you want, Republicans, but you're making a clean break from the Bush administration, which means when you run, you won't have to defend Bush's policies. When they say, well, how come you voted to go into Iraq? How come you voted against child health care? How come you voted for this? How come you voted for that? How can you vote for the Patriot Act? How can you vote for warrantless wiretapping? How can you do all those things? They can say, well, we were tricked by the Bush administration. If a clean break, Republicans, this is your get-out-of-jail-free card. So why don't you take your get-out-of-jail-free card and impeach these guys, and now you're no longer responsible. You have seen the light. You've changed your ways. That doesn't mean, you can make a case to your constituents or your Republican wackos that you're on board with the Democrats on everything, but you think that Bush screwed up and that you're an independent enough that you're willing to take a stand and admit that your party screwed up. That would win Republicans some votes. So it works for you, Republicans. You should go do that. Democrats, this works for you. You've got balls. Something that everybody knows you don't have. Okay? Let's face it. Democratic wussiness, has become a cliche. People make fun of the Democrats for not doing anything. The Democratic Congress has a low approval rating, too. And it's because they haven't done squat at what they said they were going to do. So this plays well for the Democrats. It shows that they care about justice, that they want to make a difference. This isn't about party politics. Let's face it, we're pissed that they went after Bill Clinton for a blowjob. We are. But this has nothing to do with that. The fact of the matter is, the second that Nancy Pelosi had said that impeachment is off the table, she basically said to a bunch of criminals, please, we're not going to arrest you no matter what you do. So have fun, gentlemen. And they did. They did. Absolutely they did. The warrantless wiretapping is the tip of the iceberg. Forging intelligence for you know, war in Iraq is another thing. Then, you know, the Enron thing with Cheney, he still hasn't released those files yet that he was supposed to release. We fired Attorney General Gonzalez. We were supposed to have an inquiry on him. We never did. No accountability there. There's a half a dozen Republican congressmen and senators who have outstanding records that, you know, we haven't done any investigations on any of that. There's no accountability whatsoever. For Cheney alone, there's a ton of stuff. You know, it's just unbelievable. The attorneys, you know, the firing of attorneys for partisan reasons. It's another one. Valerie Plame, you know, outing a CIA agent, which is treason. That's another one. Linked to Cheney. You know, all these things. Now, impeachment is not a trial, contrary to what people think. Impeachment means that there is enough evidence, there is enough speculation of evidence to warrant an investigation. That's all. It's not innocent until proven guilty. It's, we think you did something wrong, so we're going to have an investigator look into it. That's what impeachment is. And if they find that you have done something wrong, then your ass is out of here. We're impeaching you. Kicking you out of office. Well, you're already impeached, but we're kicking you out of office. And that's what it's about. And the thing is, so far, to my knowledge, I think two presidents have been impeached, both of which the impeachment came back negative. Didn't do anything wrong. So they had the investigation, and the investigation came back. Nope, didn't do anything wrong, or at least not anything that warrants being kicked out of office. So there you go. This isn't about kicking Cheney out of office, even though that would be nice. But as Congresswoman Schultz said, you know, he's got a year left. We can tough it out. You know, blah blah blah. This isn't about living with Cheney as vice president. This is about justice. Absolutely. This is about accountability. And when she said on the Ed Schultz show that we have to worry more about re-election of, you know, for her and the other representatives and to try and get a Democratic president in 08 and that takes precedence over justice, I have to say, what the hell is going on here? And she didn't say it those words, but that's basically the gist of it. And it's unbelievable. And I'm just so fumingly mad that it's not even funny. Because let's face facts. We know, because of this, that this impeachment resolution isn't going anywhere. We know that the Republicans are, you know, I polled the Republicans. I can tell you right now, at least 10 of them are not going for it. That's 1/4 of the committee. And the Democrats, you know, I know one of them ain't, and I'd say probably a lot of them are going to go with Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and not go with this. And it just, they're going to wuss out again, just like they wuss out on everything else. They just appointed a new, you know, the new replacement for Umberto Gonzalez, and the guy doesn't even think, isn't sure if waterboarding is torture. Let me put this way. You're not sure if drowning someone in water and then not letting them die and revive and dunking them in water continuously, you're not sure if that's torture. You're not sure. I want to go Louis Black. I really want to go Louis Black. How can you not be sure if that's torture? How is that possible? I want to go into Louis Black. Of course it's torture. If you have to ask the question, the answer is probably yes. It's torture. Unbelievable. It's like asking, you know, when the terrorists cut off people's heads on camera, is that murder? Yes! Of course it... I mean, this is retarded. How could we allow that guy to be the Attorney General? And that's justice? That's the justice. Our Judiciary Committee is more concerned with their re-election than they are with justice. That's insane. Now, I'm going to quote one of my favorite presidents, John Adams, here. And I don't agree with everything John Adams said or did. But I did like him as a president. And one of the things that he said was that his re-election, his country was more important than his re-election. And the context of that was after the obscure XYZ affair, which look in your history books or Google it, America wanted to go to war with France. Most of the country was pissed at France and we wanted to go to war. And his advisor said, look, if you go to war with France, you know, it would make your popularity pretty high, and a wartime president always gets reelected. Now, they knew that because the only other wartime president at that time was George Washington, and he got reelected. But that's a whole other story. It's a joke. But anyway, the thing is that they knew back then that a wartime president is a good thing for reelection. And he was the second president. So he said no. He said he was not going to go to war with France when we could resolve the situation peacefully. And his country was more important than his re-election. Where are the John Adams today? Oh, I know. Dennis Kucinich is the John Adams of today. He's the one who's obnoxious and disliked. And yet he's speaking the truth. He's taking it to him. He's bold. He's got what it takes. He's, you know, while he's running for president, that had nothing to do with his call for impeachment. Whether he would not be running for president, he would still make that same call. And it's funny because there was a YouTube video up recently that got passed around MySpace that I saw, which was Dennis Kucinich when he was 31 years old, younger than I am now, and he was mayor of Chicago, one of the largest cities in the country. And, you know, there was a situation going on there with a power plant and money financing, all kinds of stuff. I don't know the details of it because I don't know that much about Dennis Kucinich's life. But in the video, it showed that they were trying to strong arm him because he was a young guy, and that he took it to the people, and that he won. And a lot of people at the time, oh, you know, that's disaster, blah, blah, blah. Even his chief rivals were all pissed at him. But now, you know, years later, they admit he was right. Even his staunch enemies admitted that he is right, that he knew what he was doing, and, you know, he took the issue up. And, you know, that's something else for you to Google, because I would like to know, too. I don't really know if I'm going to do that later tonight. But my point is that he's the one who's ahead of the curve here. He's the one who didn't want to go to Iraq. And people laughed, said, no, no, we got to go. Terrorists, blah, blah, blah. We're worse off today than we were then. And you know what? I got to tell you, he was ahead of the curve. And last time he ran, I did not support him. Because I was supporting Dean last time, because I didn't think Dennis had a chance. And I thought, you know, he was maybe a little off base on some things. But in retrospect, he was right. And he probably would have had more of a chance if, you know, people would have stuck with him. This time, I think he has more of a chance. And I know his poll numbers are low. And I'll tell you why that is, because I figured this out. And you Ron Paul zombies out there, you listen up too, because this is why Ron Paul numbers are down too. When they do polling, they poll the most likely voters, most likely people to go out to the polls and vote. That's who they've polled. Now, how do they determine that? One of the ways they determine that is by looking at your past voting record. You know, how often do you vote? Another way they determine, you know, but here's the thing with that right there. Young people are the ones that are really pushing for Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich. And they have a huge young person grassroots movement. and people were fired up. And young people, this might be their first time voting. They might not have a voting record. They're not being polled. Also, young people traditionally are not likely voters. So, again, they're not being polled. So that's why their poll numbers are down. Also, because young people don't have a lot of money, they can't contribute to their campaigns. They do feet on the ground. They go putting bumper stickers on poles and running around and stuff, and making YouTube videos. But they're not giving money to the campaigns. So, again, I say, if you're a young person and you're supporting Dennis Kucinich, donate some money. You don't have to donate a lot. $25, $50 if you can. If you really got some money, put it there. Go for it. Because, let's be honest, if Dennis Kucinich got a huge flood of money all of a sudden, that would be newsworthy. It was when Ron Paul made $4 million in a single day on Guy Fawkes Day. That made the news. People said, oh, he might be a serious contender. Of course, that was in the news for like a minute because they looked at him and said, no, Ron Paul's wacky. And he is. But I've talked about that on my blog. I'm not going to talk about that here. My MySpace blog, by the way. And I'm not going to talk about that here because I don't want to deal with Ron Paul. I want to focus on Dennis Kucinich and this impeachment because I think this is important. And I am surprised the news didn't cover it. And that's a whole nother aspect that I'm going to talk about. This is really the big difference between Democrats and Republicans. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. They'll have a crazy wacko Republican out there who will say some wacko statement. I don't know, like former Senator Rick Santorum said homosexuality is like bestiality. And the next day, every right-wing guy or even the Republican moderates were like, yeah, you go. You're right. Absolutely. And then on the opposite side, you have the Democrats, where you have a Democrat who will say something that's not even all that bad. Like when Pete Stark said that, Congressman Pete Stark from California said that Bush gets some sort of pleasure out of seeing our guys get killed over in Iraq, because it's the only explanation he can come up with. And all of a sudden, every Democrat was like, "Ooh, boy, you said something dangerous. Ooh, you should apologize, because, in fact, we're going to put pressure on you. Better apologize, because we ain't standing by you on that one." Are you kidding me? But that's the thing. And when Republicans push for the impeachment of Bill Clinton, all right, as soon as they even spread that rumor like they were even thinking about it, all of a sudden, it spread like wildfire through the news. Clinton might get impeached. Clinton might get impeached. Clinton's impeached. Clinton's impeached. And with the Democrats, we're actually talking in the floor of the House about impeaching the Vice President of the United States, and the news doesn't cover it? Nothing? Zero? Zip? Nothing? Unbelievable. The fact that there is a resolution in the House of Representatives to impeach the President, the Vice President, rather, and it is... Well, the resolution went forward. Okay, I can understand news not jumping on that because, probably won't pass. But after the Democrats tried to table it, and after that tabling failed, that should have been Wolf Blitzer cutting in to CNN and say, "Excuse me, we have breaking news happening now in the floor of the House, happening right now. Urgent, right now," because that's his favorite saying, right now, happening now. It's his whole thing. And they should have cut away to the floor of the House, to C-SPAN, and so we could watch. Because, I'll be honest, I had to watch it on C-SPAN. I had to listen to it. It was so captivating. And now that video's on YouTube, and it's just unbelievable. And definitely check that out. You can just search for it in YouTube, but it's just unbelievable. I think I have it as one of my favorites on Dangerous Talk's YouTube page, because it's just unbelievable just watching that. It's nothing to watch on TV. It's all reruns, so you might as well. The point is, the news didn't talk about it at all, not even like some of the left-wing like radio shows, they barely talked about it. And when they did, like Bill Press's show, he's like a big left-wing radio show, he barely talked about it at all. And when he did, he was like, I disagree. I don't think we should impeach the president or the vice president. And I had to call up to his show earlier this week and yell at him and say, absolutely, we need to impeach, push for the impeachment. And then today, you know, I called in again and said the same thing. I kind of worked it into the other topic. But my point is, they barely talked about it. I had to re-bring it up, reintroduce it. Ed Schultz talked about it, of course, and he's been pretty good about this. Many of the other ones haven't talked about it, which is unbelievable. And the nightly news hasn't. The newspapers don't talk about it. You know, I mentioned to a friend of mine who's somewhat politically astute that this was going on, and he didn't even know. Totally didn't know. You know, and here it is, it's Friday, and, you know, November the 9th, and this happened on Tuesday. And didn't know. Just didn't make the papers. Nobody's talking. We got to beat these drums. We got, you know, I know Dennis Kucinich is the strength through peace guy, and I'm all for the strength through peace thing. But right now, I want war drums. I want war drums out on Dick Cheney. All right? I'm not a retaliatory person. When 9/11 happened, I was the only one calling not to attack any country. Okay. Now, later, when, you know, I kind of changed my way a little bit on Iraq, but then I turned back on that. So I kind of flip-flopped on Iraq. But initially, I was against going into Iraq, and I was against going into Afghanistan. Say, we got to, you know, look towards the peace. Then, you know what? This point now, I want Dick Cheney's head on a pike. I say impeach. Get him. And they go, well, then what? After we impeach him, after we kick him out of office, then they're going to have somebody else be the vice president. Can you imagine Rudy Giuliani as vice president? We'll give him a leg up when he runs for 08. First off, I don't think that's true. Second off, we could stall that process of picking a vice president until the presidency is over. So I don't think that's an issue at all. Second, it would play well for us if we do that politically, because let's say Giuliani is their candidate for that. Right? Guess what? If we can't even confirm him for vice president, we definitely are not going to vote for him for president, right? Could you imagine if Rudolph Giuliani was going to put him as the guy they want to replace Dick Cheney, and in the Senate, he fails the confirmation process? That's it for his presidential bid. He's done. He wouldn't even take the chance to do that. So who, Jeb? All right, so Jeb's the vice president. Is that going to give him a leg up if he wants to run for president? It's too late to run for president at that point. So it doesn't affect that at all. Not one bit. Second, like I said before, we cannot determine what is politically expedient here. We have to determine what is right. We have to be principle-minded. If there is even the slightest chance that Dick Cheney has committed treasonous acts against the United States of America, then we have to go forward with an investigation to find out the truth of those allegations. Absolutely. And the fact is that there are so many treasonous things that he could have done and that probably did do. We're pretty sure he did. The question is, will an investigation prove that? Maybe, maybe not. But it's the right thing to do for justice. If we don't do that, if we don't, then it says, like I said before, that you know, the president and the vice president can do whatever they want. And I wonder, if they went to war with Iran tomorrow, and I talked about this on a previous show, would we call for, what would they, would the Democrats then be like, oh, we got to impeach this guy? Now, I don't think they would. If Bush declared martial law tomorrow, I don't think the Democrats would push for impeachment. You know, we practically have martial law. Well, not really, but I mean, we're getting close to it. Warrantless wiretapping and all this other stuff, Patriot Act, and unbelievable. So, the thing is, I gotta know, what would the breaking point be for Nancy Pelosi? Personally, I say get her out. Next to giving money to Kucinich, give money to Cindy Sheehan. Because I want her done. Alright? And I have been pushing for a while this no confidence campaign. And I'm going to push it again right now. Because, let's say, you can call your congressman, you can write them emails, and I support you doing that. I think you should. And I've been passing that message along through MySpace too. But let's face it, nothing you say to those people, no matter how many people come forward and say they want impeachment, nothing you say to those congressmen are going to change their mind. They got money riding on it. They got their jobs riding on it. They're not going to go, oh, you know what, I think a lot of people in my district are supporting impeachment, I think I'll go that way. You're not going to change their minds. I wish you would, but you can't. They're bought and sold already. The only thing you can possibly, even possibly, remotely do is if all of us called their offices and said, we want impeachment, and if you don't give it to us, we're going to write in a vote of no confidence. And if enough people threaten that, they'll think twice about it. Because I'll tell you this, I called my congressman, Joe Sestak, who is a Democrat, and this is his first term as a Democrat in Congress, and usually I support him, usually he's a good guy. Talked to him on the phone once before. Now I called his office. I called his local office, not his federal office. And I said, I told him about the no confidence campaign. I said, look, he voted to table the impeachment bill. He voted to table it. And, you know, I had called the day before and I said, you know, I instructed him not to. And I told him about the no confidence campaign. And then I said, look, he crossed the line. I'm going to vote no confidence and I'm going to spread the word. And the guy on the phone, his jaw dropped, I could tell. And he didn't know what to say. And I could feel the fear in him. I could feel it then. And the thing is, I'm one person in this one district, granted. But I don't think they've ever been threatened with their jobs before. I don't think they have. And I think if you call their local offices, and it doesn't even have to be yours, but especially yours, yours you should be able to do no problem, because they usually ask your name and your address and all that stuff to verify your constituent. And you tell them that you're going to write in no confidence, if you get enough people in a district doing that, if they get, because they figure like each call they get is worth like 100 voters, or they make some sort of calculation like that, I don't know if that's the exact one, but if you get enough people calling in like that, and they can verify it's different people doing it, different voters, they're going to be scared. You know, they're going to have to start doing something. They're going to have to step up, because that's going to scare them. So I've been promoting the no confidence campaign. And the other thing I've been promoting too, which has kind of gotten a backseat, was the Tubolution. On YouTube, I made a video called Tubolution. I made it because I wanted to win the YouTube Citizen of the Week in politics, and of course I didn't, which sucked. But this one guy, let me get his name here. Okay, here it is. It is Adam Ligner, Linger. Anyway, what Adam did was he saw my Tubolution video on YouTube, and he took it to heart, and he made a website called votersdirect.org. And the website basically is Tubolution, or at least it will be. I mean, he's just getting it started now, and it's just kicking in. But go to votersdirect.org and check it out, because it was totally inspired by the Tubolution that Dangerous Talk put on. So there, I feel like we're doing something. And what Tubolution was something that I said people should do during the YouTube debates for the Democrats. And I know one's coming up for the Republicans, but nobody cares about that one because they ain't answering crap. But anyway, for that, said it shouldn't end with the debates. You should be making videos to your congressman or congressperson and senators directly and posting them on your site. And they should be able to go and see your video and have to respond to you, have to be accountable. And maybe a website designed for that, you know, would where they'd have to be accountable to your question directly. And that's what VotersDirect.org is going to do. And I think that's great and outstanding. I support that. But the thing is, our representatives aren't accountable to us, and they're accountable to the special interest because that's who pays them. And this way, if we tell them that we're not going to support them unless, you know, they do what we tell them to do, and if enough of us go out there and call their offices, you know, who are constituents of them directly and say, look, we're not going to vote for you. And in tight districts, that's going to make a big difference. And the district that I live in is a tight district. You know, this is this guy's first term, and he took it from a Republican. So where I live, is it's a tight district. Joe Sestak, he can't afford to lose a vote. And, he, you know, if I convince other people, he certainly can't afford it. So I'm going to write a letter to the editor in the local papers. And I'm going to spread the word. And I'm going to see if we can get some change here. And if enough of people in my district and in other districts around the country call their representatives at their local offices or their federal offices or both and tell them, you're going to write in a vote of no confidence next time they're up for election, they'll have to think about that. Might not work for senators so much, but it definitely could have an effect on Congress people. So it's something we can do, and it's probably one of the only things we can do. Because, look, I can tell you that yesterday I called a judicial committee front desk, and I called, and for about 10 minutes I got busy signals. I can guarantee you everybody calling in is calling in about this. And they all, and the people who don't want impeachment, they ain't calling in because they don't think it's going to happen. People calling in are people like you and me who want impeachment. So our guys are calling for impeachment, and we're jamming up their phone lines, and it ain't going to make a spit of difference. And we all have to know that. It's like what I said about rallies and protests. They don't do squat, letter writing campaigns, nothing. These guys are bought and paid for. So unless you can find a way to either buy them back or threaten them with their jobs, I don't see how we're going to make any difference. So that's why I'm pushing the no confidence campaign, because we got to threaten them with their jobs. And it's the only thing we can do. Well, almost the only thing we can do, short of revolution. But I don't know if I'm ready for that just yet. And there was some discussion about that on my blog, and I've talked about it before. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of close. But I'm not quite there yet. I still think we could deal with this situation through peaceful, nonviolent means. But it's tough. And it's going to be a fight every day. Political fight. But we the people, we have to take back our government. And I think Dennis Kucinich is the only way to do it. And I did a video a while back on this, and basically I laid out the outline in that video showing that even though he is a long shot to win right now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't support him. In fact, that means we should support him even more. And I know a lot of you guys out there have picked your people, Hillary or Obama or even Edwards. Maybe some of you take other long shot candidates. But let's face it, every candidate is a long shot to Hillary right now. So I don't know what you guys are doing. But the thing is, we're in a primary. We have to put our best foot forward. Now, which one of the Democrats has the worst chance against the Republicans? I don't know. Be honest with you, I think any Democrat we got up there is better than any of the Republicans up there. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, you look at their field. It's sad. I think Huckabee would be the biggest challenge on the Republican side. Not Giuliani. I think Giuliani, he has too much baggage. It'd be easy. I can't wait for him to be the candidate. But here's the thing. We need to support Dennis. Even if you're going to vote for somebody else in the primary, send some money to Dennis. Give him a fighting chance. Show that impeachment is important to you. Show that you're willing to put your money where your mouth is. Even though you don't have a lot of money, I get it. Believe me, I don't have a lot of money either. I can still afford to spend, $25 to donate to his campaign. And I still spent like a little bit of money. I think I spent like $20 on campaign stuff, like signs and stuff. I'll probably end up spending more than that later on, too. But here's the thing. We need your support. And we can still win this. There's still a year left. And the thing is, if Dennis doesn't win, if Hillary wins or any of the other candidates, it's just going to be business as usual. None of them have a ball between them. None of them have a backbone. They're all wusses. And you all know it. I know you know it. And even you Ron Paul wackos, you gotta know that Ron Paul has less of a chance than anyone. And you gotta know that even if he wins, he can't change anything either, because he won't be able to get along with anyone. Dennis will at least appeal to people and work with them. He has a history of that, and yet he'll stand his ground too. So that's really all I'm going to say on that now. I'm running late with announcements. You can comment to me, email me at dangeroustalk@gmail.com. You can take a look at the Dangerous Demand podcast. We have older episodes up there too. And you can go to dangeroustalk.net, click on Dangerous Demand, and it'll take you right to our podcast page, or to the listen page you can go to in dangeroustalk.net. You can find it there. We also have a MySpace page. You can listen to the show through the MySpace player, through the Dangerous Demand player on the MySpace page, myspace.com/dangeroustalk. And you can even put a player on your MySpace page if you want. Right at the bottom of the MySpace, of the Dangerous Demand player, there's a little button that says get your own player, and that will show you what you got to do. We also have a YouTube page, as I mentioned, youtube.com/dangeroustalk. I hope to have some videos up for the Republican candidates. I have some good ones in my head, but I don't know if I'll have time to execute them, one of which I need a prop for, and I don't know if the little kid's available to be my prop. So I got to look into that one. But yeah, we got that page going. We got the MySpace. We also have a Facebook page, but I'm not a Facebook guy. But you can look us up on Facebook. It's Dangerous Talk. And add us if you want. I get messages saying you added, so I'll respond to it and, include you. But most of the stuff I'm going to be doing is on MySpace or our main site, DangerousTalk.net. The MySpace, I have a daily blog now going on. So every weekday, I put up a new blog entry, usually about 8 o'clock, a little bit after that, usually 9:45 at the latest, or 10 o'clock at the latest, I don't know. But somewhere in there, I put up a daily blog. You can comment on that. Give me your thoughts on those things. Those blog entries are mainly designed to get your thoughts. So I am curious to know what you think. And I started that because we have columns on dangeroustalk.net, and I'll go through some of those columns in a minute. And I structure those columns very carefully, and they take a lot of time to write. And news is happening so fast now, and I don't have time to craft a nice column as much anymore. And so I throw up a little blog entry, which is kind of half-assed. I'll admit that. Sometimes it's kind of more thought out, but they're definitely not as thought out as a column. And, they're about stories of the day or things that are in my head, and there's so much going on right now that I thought I'd have trouble finding a blog entry every day. Not even close. I have like 5 blog entries in my head at any given day. So please take a look at that, comment on that. We have columns, as I said. Let me go through that real quick. Okay, the first one, Common Sense, which is my column. The current column on there is Ron Paul, More Than Meets the Eye. I think I should rename it Less Than Meets the Eye, because it's really an anti-Ron Paul column. But also you can go to my archives and see some of the other columns from the past. Silent Steve Stories. His current one is If They Only Knew. And you can go to his website for all his current writings on oneoveralpha.com. Oneoveralpha.com. And The Way of the Atheist, Sean McGonigal. His current column is Atheism a Religion? Actually, that one's going to be up there for only a little longer because Sean wrote a new column, and I just haven't put it up yet, where he grills former Senator Rick Santorum and really rips into him pretty harsh. So his new column talks about that, so I'll have that up shortly. Secular Spice, her current column is Atheism Aside, Separation Supporters Should Seek Solidarity. It's about making peace and love with the religious left. I'm not sure if I agree, but oh well. A Modest Proposal, that's my brother's column. He runs the A-Team MySpace page. His current one is Response to Michael Gerson. And Michael Gerson, I guess, is a religious right apologist who wrote some kind of column or something slamming Christopher Hitchenson, and my brother responded and kicked his butt. Hitchenson also wrote a response, but my brother's was better, so check that one out. And check out his MySpace page. The A-Team, and they're one of my top friends on MySpace, so check them out. Geekology 101, Casey's column, and It's Hard Out There for a Model. Yo is hers, and you can go to her site, kcrulestheworld.com, and see some scantily clad photos of her on there. My good friend Tom Meredith writes The Religious Middle, on Being Born Again, Clarification of a Controversial Phenomenon, where he tries to slam one of my YouTube videos. Take a look and see how he does. He is my one Christian columnist. So definitely read his stuff. I do like to have opposition on my website. Other things going on. We do have the Most Dangerous Song competition, the Most Dangerous Art competition. The Most Dangerous Art competition, the last one of the entries on there is my Christmas card from last year. I'm working on a new Christmas card. Don't know what it's going to be yet. If you have any ideas, let me know. Also, a couple projects. Halloween Forever. That just happened. You can still dress up. It's forever. So have a costume. Dress up. Take a picture of yourself on the Dangerous Talk logo. Send it to us. We'll put it up there. Free Them for Freedom. That's for women only if they want to show their breasts for freedom. Holding Dangerous Talk logo, of course. And they can send that to us. We also have a regular photo gallery. We have our spokesmodels, Aaron, Jackie, and Sarah. We support freethoughtforums.org and rationalresponders.com are two pages I like to plug. Dangerous Store, donations to us if you want. We also have a couple things going on. We have a charity, the Atheist for Autism Research Charity. It goes right to autismspeaks.com, so you can check that out. You can buy Atheists for Autism Research t-shirts to wear on autism walks or just around. Show that atheists do give to charity. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, we got, of course, the No Confidence campaign. You can print out a No Confidence poster on dangeroustalk.net, and it's right on the front page. You can see the poster right there. And the sample poster is not the actual poster, but when you bring it up, you'll see the actual poster. Take it to any rallies or protests you go to. Let people know. Spread the word. Send around some of the YouTube videos, especially that one, the No Confidence YouTube video. You know, spread the word. Let's get this thing going. Let's impeach the vice president, and let's move on to the president. And while we're at it, we should let everybody, all the Congress and senators, know that we'll take them out, too, if they're not careful. We'll vote them out of office. We're not afraid to do that. So we got to let them know. And if you're a progressive out there, run for office. Fight back. Come on. We can do it. That's it this week, guys. Thanks for listening, talkers. And please, keep talking. That's the way we fight. And keep fighting with any way you can. Legally, of course. And let's do this thing. Let's get this done. So see you next week. And here's our intro closer.
I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.